God. It's Jesus Christ who cries out the words in the book of Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light." See, living for your life for God, giving to Jesus Christ, not just the best years, but all the days of your life, giving that to him, is something that no value, no price could ever be placed upon the view of what your eternal rewards are going to be. When I start calculating, let's see, you got 20 bucks, I got 10, he's got 5, let me see, 20, 30, that's 35, and we split it between the three of us, this is what we'll have. You know, if I live my life for God, and if I'm faithful to him, and if I give him what belongs to him, and I do my best to do a work for him and to be a witness for him, I wonder what, let's see, 1 and 2 and 3 and 5 and 7, 11, oh, 27, 29, oh, 36, 51. You wouldn't be able to add it up, the benefits and the blessings that you get, and that you will receive when you make it to heaven. Yet the Bible says that daily he loadeth us with benefits. Every day you're blessed. Every day you lay down your head, you're blessed. You rise in the morning, you're blessed. See, repenting of your sins, being baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue, is where in your life it becomes you who will discover not a temporal, but an eternal treasure, one whose investment is that offers to those who surrender their lives in a desire to acquire such a treasure. It will be one day, it will be them, it will be you who will be seated at that marriage supper of the Lamb. It is you who will be the one who, after all the trials and all the struggles of life that you faced on this earth, it will be you who had it invested. It will be you who will then receive great rewards by your seeking out and by your looking to ultimately gain the greatest treasure. Don't we sing that song, "You Can Take This Whole World"? Just give me Jesus. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. You're crazy living like that. That's nuts. You don't fit in with the crowd, you know. You look different, you know. I want to dare to be different. I want to stand for Jesus Christ. I want to be counted as the redeemed. I want to hear one day that God offers me to come to heaven instead of turns me away. I don't want to look like you. I want to look like him. What a blessing it is when somebody looks at you in your job, in a store, or maybe in a restaurant, and they say, "You know what? In maybe different words, you sure look like your father." Amen. Amen. I heard stories from our second pastor, Brother Simmons, and talked about his kids going to a secular school and how they would be the girls with the long hair and the girls with the dresses, and how some of the kids, and, you know, kids are cruel, that they would mock them and they would make fun of them. And I so much remember that story. It was like indelible ink, because it speaks of the power of your witness. When that black young lady and some other young ladies and others were going to be picking on this pastor's daughter, and they were making fun of her, and I don't know, maybe flipping at her hair or mocking her dress, and this black young lady, and she was quite big, I guess, and kind of one of the bosses of the tribe. And what did she do? She went up to those people and he said, "Leave this girl alone. This is Josiah's daughter. This is the man of God's daughter. You leave her alone and don't you bother her." You see, you can fit in, but you never will fit in, because you have been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ is applied to your life, and you'll always get from somebody, no matter how worldly you want to be, that kind of side look, thinking, "You really don't belong here. What are you doing here?" See, allowing your life to become swallowed up in the pursuits of worldly treasures and gains is likened unto those who sell their souls to the attainment of worldly riches, only to discover in the end that the ultimate price in payment is the damnation and the eternal loss of their soul. It has been said that some world-famous singers and even actors were they who, in essence, had sold their soul to the devil in their desire to achieve worldly fame. But all who I refer to today, in the end, with all of their money, with all of their notoriety that they had gained in this world, were they who were not able to regain their status back with God. Some had lived for God. Some had started on that path. But they chose to turn their back upon God, and their eternal rude awakening was in the fact that the treasure that they sought and that they desired so much to gain in their life became for them the treasure that condemned their soul for an all eternity without God. Elvis Presley, Billy Joel, Dolly Parton, Michael Jackson. It was Moses whose testimony was recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. In Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, a testimony, it says like this, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to be the one to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then, as is recorded in the 26th verse, the writer of Hebrews, he writes this, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Mock me. Push me aside. Kick me out of your clique and your club. Think that I'm a goody two-shoes. And think that I'm a church boy or church girl. And think that, our family does devotions and we read our Bibles instead of the Playboy and the Playgirl and the Hustler magazines. And think that it's strange that we don't play all the ungodly games that people in the world play, but we look for things that are wholesome to fill our minds with what's right. And we read stories, and our young ladies pick up books that teach them values and morals rather than how to be promiscuous and rude and lost. I know that the Bible says that it rains on the just and on the unjust. That's the good and the bad. It happens to the saved and it happens to the unsaved. That's Matthew 5:45. But I want to quote the words of the psalmist as he writes in the book of Psalms, chapter 84 and verse 10. This is what the psalmist writes. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. The greatest treasure rests in being under the protection of our Savior. The greatest treasure lies in the fact of being at the end of this life in favor with God and not in reproach. That's when the words will come, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25:21. "And not depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Matthew 7:23. I heard it said, and I know many of you have already know this statement, but for the point of this message today, I'm going to bring it back out. You know what? The worst punishment a child of God could ever receive, the worst punishment we could ever receive, is to be down in hell and looking up in heaven at all those who are sitting at the marriage supper and looking at all those mansions and realizing, "I could have been there. I sold it. I traded it for trash. I traded it for worldly gain. I traded it for popularity. I traded it because I want to fit in. In all eternity, not a weekend, honey. This isn't a match burn on the end of your finger. All eternity, there you are." And I don't know, because the Bible says that Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, he saw that the rich man saw Lazarus in his bosom up there in heaven. And, "Oh, I can't get to you because there's a great gulf between the two of us." But he saw. What did he see? What a tragedy. What a torment. There's Mom. There's Dad. There's brother, sister, so-and-so. And they can't hear your tears because the Bible says no tears in heaven. You see, that's the greatest treasure. And that would be the ultimate loss. I believe that's why Jesus admonishes, or maybe he cautions, or use the word that he warns us as a people in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21. The one that we read today, not to lay up for ourselves treasures upon earth, but to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Because being forewarned is also being foretold, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I live for God part-time. Maybe I don't live for God at all. Maybe I put on a show here and I act a different way here. What do you want? I want friends. I want acceptance. I want money. You know, I want to fit into the crowd of my day. That's what your heart is. That's where your treasure will be found. I want to live for God. I want to dare to be different. Not a challenge. I take on the challenge of being a Christian lady, a Christian gentleman, to be declared as a Christian family. See, children born into the church have no good idea of what a life filled with its perils is like, you know, one that lies outside of the sanctuary of God, the doors of the sanctuary. Oh, out there, listen to this. You get drugs and unwanted pregnancies. You have alcohol, abuse, addictions, bondage to the god of this world, and ultimately death in an eternity without God. You are missing out. Born in the church, spoiled rotten. You're raised up to a certain age and you turn bad. Why? Because I want the world. I'm being deprived. I want to be a statistic. There have been young people who said, I just want to taste the treasures, the things of this world. You know, Egypt, I want to go back there. I just want to decide for myself if the world is what I want and not a life lived for God. Oh, but there's a warning to the unwise. See, you might get out there and experience and taste and discover all that this world has to offer those who choose it. But hear this preacher this afternoon. You may also be the one who never escapes from the traps and the pitfalls that come along with your choice to venture out into it. What did Paul say when they were in a ship crossing over? I think they were taken from one point of judgment to another. They're going to be before another magistrate, and a great storm arose. He said, as long as you abide in this ship, no peril to your life shall be found. But you leave this ship, your life is cast upon your own. Demas, a young man filled with the Holy Ghost, no doubt baptized in Jesus' name, one who was likely there on the day of Pentecost, one who had seen some, if maybe not all, the miracles that Jesus, in his earthly ministry had done. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and 10, as Timothy writes, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I say in that, more than God. See, being loose from the demon of alcohol and drugs, not having to come off of an addiction in order for you to be able to live a normal life, not being the one who has or had been exposed to a life of dysfunction, hurt, and pain, aside from being those who grow up in a household where their mother and their dad are they who teach you and seek to rear you up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. See, that's what I would refer to as the greatest treasure. I'd rather be in that home and then the other. See, not having to experience scrounging for food in garbage cans or what is left in the fridge after the party because your parents spent the food money on cigarettes and on booze and on drugs. Living a life not having to have run from to a shelter for women or children because of the abuse that's in your home. These are just some of the pitfalls of a family that chooses to live their lives outside of the blessing of God. These are those who, instead of avoiding them, they're forced to go through them in their lives. Yet dancing in the Holy Ghost around the altar, experiencing the power of God as it falls upon those in a prayer meeting, come into contact with what the Bible refers to as a joy unspeakable and yet full of glory. You see, this is where life, these are the places that the greatest treasure is found. It's Jesus who declared in the book of John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, it's God who declares, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 11:5. It is Jesus in the New Testament who cried, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends, John 15:13. Jesus says, give, and I'll add the words, live for God, and it shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom, into your lives. You see, this is what I refer to today as the greatest treasure. A treasure that money, that prestige, that family heritage, that earthly possessions cannot buy. I want to buy it. You can't. You got to die into it. You got to be born into it. You got to die out to your flesh and take on Christ. Put it on. I'll never forget Sister Wilson a long, long time ago, and it was a long time ago, and many of you that were involved in this, you were quite young. But I'll never forget for as long as I live, and we do have a picture of it, and it's like an indelible ink again in my mind. I look to the beauty and the awesomeness of God. We had some ladies in there at the front of the church here, you know, had the little black chairs. You spoiled rotten kids, you got these beautiful chairs now. We had these little black folding chairs, and every time I get to sit on one, I always say, thank you, Jesus, for those beautiful, nice, plush-looking chairs. I didn't like the little black ones, but here they were. You remember that day? Yeah, yeah, you were there. And at the front of the altar, these ladies were laying there. Sister Michelle Wilson was laying there, and she was kind of talking in tongues, and they were drunk in the Holy Ghost, and there was others that are in this house today, ladies that were up at the front of this altar laying there laughing and shouting. We got pictures of this. Oh, how terrible you bring your kids to the house of God, and the power of God falls, and the Holy Ghost flows, and the Spirit of Christ moves. What a treasure! What a beautiful treasure! That's the greatest treasure you can give to your kids. The only real treasure is the treasure that God offers when it's He who takes the soul out of the trespasses of their sins. When it's God who takes the shred of an alcoholic or a drug addict's life and He puts it back together. The greatest treasure is found when the fabric of the family, as a result of a misguided decisions in life that were made, tore that family apart, and it's God who took that fabric and He put it back together again. You see, to live for God, submit your life for God, and all that you have and all you'll ever be is what will become for you before the Lord, my friends, that you will find that to be the greatest treasure. I submitted. I listened. I gave my life. I followed Him. I took up my cross. Finally, today in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua declares to all who are before him that day, now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But, and if, verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Why? Because this is the greatest treasure. This is where real life is found. This is where the promises come true. Sister Thee. Turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 8. The book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 8. You shall find that it's Jesus who in this chapter is addressing the different churches. But in verse 8 he says, just a few words into that verse, he declares, "Behold, I have set before you an open door, and no man can shut it." Opportunity. I want to live for God. Well, I'm not going to shut the door on you. And as we stand together this afternoon, church, the door is wide open, you see. If the treasures of this world and all that is found in this temporal life is what you desire, then I boldly declare to you that this message, I guess, is not for you. However, if it is you who is in search of, or you who in your life is the one who rests in that place where the greatest treasure that I've spoken of today is found, then it is I this day who now offers to you the opportunity of reaffirming in your life before God that this is indeed that which you in your life will continue to seek after and will foster in your life, if not keep it, and then to ultimately gain. As I open up this altar to you, I wonder, would you come and would you on this first Sunday of 2019 be the one to offer unto God with a heart of thanksgiving and praise? Why? For your opportunity of being the one to have been blessed and to have discovered in your life not just any treasure, but the greatest treasure. Aren't you glad that you spend your life, your whole life, in search of a treasure that leaves you empty? Aren't you glad that now and forevermore you have the opportunity every day of discovering?